seen Dougie Fresh?
Yes.
Have you ever seen a show with fellas on the mic with one-minute rhymes that don't come out right? They bite.
They never write.
That's not polite. Am I lying?
No, you're quite right.
Well, tonight, on this very mic, you're about to hear,
we swear, the best star rappers of the year. So,
cheerio,
yell,
scream bravo.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called the show.
You're listening to WNHH 103.5 FM. WNHH.org. We stream, baby. And good evening. I'm a little hoarse, a little raspy, but I'm here. I am trying to bring it together a little bit better. But as you know, I'm the host. My name is Michelle Turner. And this is the show on 103.5 FM, WNHH. Community Radio, Hyperlocal New Haven. That's who we are. That's what we do. And so in being hyperlocal, I have the good fortune of being its host. And our guests today are from an iconic New Haven institution. How many people remember Black Nativity? Raise your hands. I can see you. I went to Black Nativity as a young woman, probably in my late 20s, early 30s, and I attended it every year. So, believe it or not, it's coming back. And it's coming back on December 16th, right here in New Haven, of course. 5 o'clock. Doors open at 4 at Bethel AME Church, 255 Gulf Street. Yes, next to DeGaul Field. I know all y'all want to call it Gulf Street Park, but the real name of it is DeGaul Field. And in the studio with me is Lisa Kelman. She is the producer and director of this year's Black Nativity, and Elder Howard Taylor of the Faith Center Church of God in Christ of Meriden, which is under Bishop Norfleet. And I say welcome to you both. Thank you so much for coming in today. I know parking is a little tricky at this time of the day and it gets a little hairy, but I appreciate you being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Pleasure to be here.
So I want to go to Elder Taylor first, because you are an original part of Black Nativity. Am I correct in saying that?
That you are.
Now, you started with Vernon Jones.
Yes, I started with Vernon back in the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I became his musical director. And we did Black Nativity all during all the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Late 80s and all the 90s. And it was just great doing it. It's great.
Now, people didn't know, and I'm assuming that even right now, people aren't sure, Lisa, but this is written by the one and only Langston Hughes.
Yes. The original play, when it first started,
mm-hmm.
It was actually titled, Wasn't That a Mighty Day? And then it was changed to Black Nativity as it started to grow some steam and on off Broadway in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like in the late 60s. And so now that's what we know it as, is Black Nativity.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wrote his Christmas play. And as we all, if anybody knows and understands Langston Hughes, a lot of his works, all of his works were pretty much primarily for us and for our culture. He really pretty much gave us our identity in,
mm-hmm.
in African-American arts, culture.
And literature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so this was one of his most notable works, playwright works. He's written several other plays all throughout the 50s and the 60s. So, yeah, I'm very happy to be able to continue this legacy in New Haven.
And how did you come about being involved in Black Nativity?
Well, I pretty much grew up with the Vernon Jones Singers. So my mom was an original Vernon Jones Singer.
Yes, wow.
Virgie McDowell, Virgie Arendelle right now. Her mm-hmm. and my aunt, Ernestine Wilson, they original singers and been with Vernon for decades. So I literally grew up under the Vernon Jones Singers and Vernon and Uncle Howard over here helped raise me in the gospel music. And so, of course, toting everywhere.
Right.
Activity
right.
was one of those things. And especially in the late 80s and 90s, that's pretty much my teenage years, going into my teenage years.
Uh-huh.
So all the late night rehearsals, the long rehearsals, week in, week out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my mom didn't believe in leaving me home. So I went to every single rehearsal and studied all this music, but I never was able to sing with them because Vernon wouldn't let me. So this year, for the past five years, mm-hmm. God has put it on my heart and put a vision in me to bring that Black Nativity, that rendition of Black Nativity, because I mean, it's been in New Haven for the past 19 years.
Mm-hmm.
Alita Stanton has been doing it for the past couple of decades.
Yeah, yeah.
And but never
hey, Alita.
She's an awesome mentor.
She is.
But never to that rendition once Vernon left.
Mm-hmm.
Because his music that he added to it and the spirit and the ministry that he added to it as well, it just wasn't the same. It was very Broadway, Alvin Ailey-esque meets the Kojic Baptist fire baptized
experience
church.
Right,
so it went from Alvin Ailey to
the
church meeting, and it was phenomenal, and it had such a following, and the reason why I think it had a following, because I never missed a year, not because my mom said coming or not,
right,
but I had to go, I wanted to go. It left you with a sense of renewal,
and everybody went. I mean, it was like we all talked about it in the community.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those things where you just didn't want to miss it, even if you had gone last year.
Right. Not even just this New Haven community, but we're talking communities as far as in Guilford, in Madison, in Brantford, and other communities outside of
all the surrounding areas.
Urban African-American community of New Haven.
Yeah.
It reached many different races and religions,
because
it wasn't just a Christian thing. Even though, it's telling of the Magi and the birth of Christ.
Right.
A lot of people.
It touched a lot of people. I don't ever remember a year when I was in attendance that it was not full.
Mm-hmm.
And it ran, and you all probably can tell me, but I know it ran a couple of days.
It ran a whole month.
Yeah.
It ran for 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we took it to wherever we was going to the surrounding cities of New Haven.
Mm-hmm.
Waterbury, Norwalk, New London, Hartford, Waterbury, all the surrounding cities of New Haven.
So how did you and Vernon decide that you were going to put this to music or even add something to it? Because this is Langston Hughes, and that's a real tall order to say, well, I'm going to put some music to this.
Well, Vernon was the mastermind.
Yeah.
In the beginning, Vernon was the mastermind. And basically, he taught me the music and what was to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first act is basically the original music.
Mm-hmm.
The first act is usually it's the original music. But the second act is more contemporary sound, songs of today, songs that that song that we know, and that was the easy part. but the first half was the telling of the Christmas story, and it was just different songs of Well, back then, for me, it was like really, really different because those wasn't the Christmas songs I was used to hearing.
Yeah, grown up with, yeah.
Right. But all of a sudden, I was introduced to a whole new set of songs that told the story of Christ and the coming of Christ and his birth and all that, which was really exciting. And it stayed with me all the, throughout my adult years.
Yeah, because I think when we... There's almost like gospel music before the 90s and then gospel music after the 90s, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we know that gospel music evolves because you think about people like the Caravans.
Right.
Reverend C.L. Franklin, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how that really kind of caught fire during the 50s and 60s. And then Aretha bought this whole different tangent because she came out of the church.
Right.
Right. So then you had James Cleveland. And then you had, I can't think of his name. I can see his face. Smallwood and Dorothy Norwood. And so that carried us up into the 80s. And then when the 90s came, it was like, you know, all of a sudden it was Kirk Franklin.
And people were really upset about it. Yeah, the change went on, the change became about with Andre Crouch.
Yes. Where we start to see
That's who I was thinking of. I saw his face, couldn't think of his name.
Andre Crouch, and then of course they say the gospel of Father, Edwin Hawkins with a happy day.
Yes.
And then around that time, that's when the sound started to change. The sound started to change.
Yeah.
And we started to broaden our areas. And that that way we was, the music started to reach, took another vehicle. Took another vehicle so we can come out of our boundaries and reach more people.
Out of the four walls of the church. Church building. And
because I think... possibly the elders in the church and the church community began to realize that we need to keep and hold on to our young people. And our young people have been listening to the quartets and the Edwin Hawkins. And, you know, because I remember what a big hit Oh Happy Day was. Because you couldn't turn on the radio at certain points and not hear it. You know, it was, it just made such a difference. And if you grew up with that, then, you know, probably by the 80s, you're a young person going, you know, late 20s, early 30s. And you're saying, I don't know if I want to sing that. I don't know. Because, you know, church has been singing that for
senior choir stuff.
You know, it's like, you know, and then you have Andre Crouch come along. So now you have a different delivery of the word, right? You have a different delivery of the message. And it's attracting me, not so much because it sounds like R&B, but it sounds new. It's new. And I want to be a part of the new. You know? So I think Vernon was a part of that.
Yeah, he was.
He was really, truly a part of that. There were quite a few people in New Haven, and still are, who are affiliated with a lot of the so-called known gospel singers and gospel choirs. And I know that Vernon had done some work with folks as well. So his reputation preceded him. In the respect that, you know, people wanted to come out and hear what Vernon Jones had to offer, right? Because we already knew the Vernon Jones singers. But they now you have the Vernon Jones singers attached to Langston Hughes, and it's like, whoa. I want to see what this is about.
In the play, Langston Hughes added in songs that were, you know, also arranged by, oh my goodness, I can't remember the last name, but it's Aaron. So he had songs in the play. There are songs that go in between the narration. Vernon added a couple more songs when God put it in my heart to do Black Nativity. Literally cleared my schedule so that this can get done. I only thing I can think of, I have to get a hold of Unk and see if he would be all right with coming on board and buying into this vision and bringing with him, because I know he's the only one that has this one particular song that that is necessary to be sung, which was Follow That Star, in which that's what Langston Hughes, his end notes was. It all began with the star of Bethlehem. And Papa wrote Follow That Star. And I was like, that song has got to be a part of this.
It's got to be a part of this.
And so not only did he write Follow That Star, but also Tell It.
Yeah, I remember Tell It.
His other rendition of Go Tell It on the Mountain. And you, in this production, you wrote Oh How I Love You. Oh How He Loves Me. Yes. And one of our young singers in Bethel is singing that song. Don't know, never heard it before. It's not recorded or anything, but she belts it out so sweetly. And like, it was just like made for her. It's just beautiful. And also Catherine Wilcox, and she also sings Mary's Lullaby. Chills, the feels. And this play is not just about the singing, but also the dancing.
Yes.
Because before it was Vernon Jones and the Vernon Jones Singers and Dee Dee's Dance.
Right.
And we have a choreographer,
right,
who, Carissa Key Conyers.
Mm-hmm.
She is our choreographer over our Visions of Praise at Bethel. And that's our liturgical dance team there. And she's choreographing the dance here. And actually, she was a part of Black Nativity back in the 90s.
Wow.
Before, when it was at UNH, before Papa left.
Yeah, because
so it's all coming like full circle.
It's all coming full circle because it was Alliance Theater.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. That her was mother doing was a part it. Of that as well.
Yeah.
It was Alliance Theater. With Carol Penny.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I remember.
So this is all too very exciting for all of us. Our rehearsals have been on fire.
I can imagine.
And
I can imagine.
It's just been unreal, like the amount of love and attention and the memories and the reminiscing and the just the spirit. And I know, you know, Papa is with us. I mean, our production is dedicated to his memory and his legacy. He's touched so many people. And I grew up under him, like I said, with gospel music, but not to the extent like with Gwen Williams, who is the directress of the music department. We all grew up under Vernon in the church. And because of his vision with the Vernon Jones Singers enabled her to continue her vision with Kurajima.
Right.
Her and Arnold Johnson, which I think was just awesome that he
Know
has
both.
That kind of impact to this day in our community.
So, Elder, when you arranged this, was it divine inspiration or was it?
This is
funny. I'm listening to this, and this is the way I think it should flow. Mm-hmm. Or was it a combination of the two?
Actually, I think it's just a combination of the two. Because at the last rehearsal, I had added on another part. At our last rehearsal, added on another part. I heard something else going on within the song. So I changed it up a little bit. But no, I don't know. It's just one night. I ain't gonna say I was depressed or anything like that. But I was just thinking how good God is to me. All that I've been through in the last 5 years, because I had cancer and the cancer took my voice away right now, but I'm healed of cancer right at the moment.
Hallelujah.
And the struggle since
I've
had since then, because as a choir director, most of us use our voice to teach with, and it's been different.
Yes.
And me trying to teach songs nowadays. The song came to me how he loves me because he yet still enables me to do what I need to do. And if it wasn't for his love, I think, because a lot of people that had this in my same condition are dead. But yet still, I'm still yet here. So that those words came to me. Oh, how he loves me. Jesus Christ, God's son. And the amazing thing about it was, I thought it was so appropriate to put it in the play, was, one thing about it, because we have some of the original Vernon Jones singers singing, and then we have Lisa, a lot of younger people, and a lot of those young people sang. Especially back in the Nativity, we had a lot of people join us singing, other than the Vernon Jones singers, which was a lot of the singers' kids and that type of thing going on. But anyway, it's a whole new generation.
Yeah, who are remembering and adding their flavor, if you will.
Exactly. And then that's what truly is like that. I'm looking at that. I'm saying, oh, 20 years ago, my God. But it's still fresh. A renewing.
Yes.
A renewing.
Yes.
That has come about. And that's what amazes me.
And I think the timing may be good. Because now you've got a whole new generation of folks who didn't grow up with it, who didn't get to see it. And for once, here's something that is of African descent. And so there's probably going to be a healthy curiosity, because it is of African descent, right?
Yeah.
That folks haven't seen, you know, people like me, I've seen it a million times, you know, but I was good with it.
Yeah.
And like I said, I really think that during that time period, you know, it was the thing for Black folk to do in this town.
Exactly.
You know, that was the way that we kind of welcomed in Christmas.
Yes.
You know, are you going? Well, what night you going?
Yep.
You know, I went last night.
Oh, you have to go the last
night. Yeah, you got to go, you know, right.
It's gonna be full. Yeah.
Don't go the last night. It's going to be packed. You're not going to be able to get in there.
Right.
Because I remember the first night I went, and there had been such a buzz about this production that there was a line. I'm sorry that I can't remember the year, but I know I scooted in there, you know, and I got myself a good seat, you know, and I enjoyed it so much. And I just kept going back. Anytime I had the availability to go and it was playing, I went. And my friends went. You know, and we were considered young people. You know, and we did. We went and we enjoyed it. So now it looks like there's an opportunity to grab another generation of folks and pull them in.
Yeah, a lot of my generation, you know, didn't necessarily have the opportunity and have the possibility to attend. I didn't know anything about that. So it was mostly like, you know, your older generation at that time. I went because I was dragged there, you know, in the beginning.
Right. Until you didn't have a choice.
Right. and I really thought I was a part of it, and I really wasn't.
Well, you really weren't.
But now I get to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And it was just so, it's so like God.
Well, what made you all decide that now is the time?
Let me tell you.
I'm gonna take something to cool my throat off.
It was a vision that God really placed on my heart. And he like really pressed, you know, if you've ever had a vision from God, he really presses on you until you get it done. And he doesn't let up. So I was like, okay, God, I'm going to do this. I'm not theater nothing. So I don't know. So I have all kinds of fears. But God said he's going to work with me. And he's going to make a way. So I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust you as long as you bless my yes. I'm going to say yes. And that was that. And lo and behold, so I was like, well, we're living in the Google age. Let me Google it and see what I have to do. What's my first steps?
Mm-hmm.
So I Googled it, and it says that I have to go and obtain the publishing license.
Mm.
I'm like, okay, so what do I do with that? How do I do that? So a little bit more digging, know how to research. I'd researched it, got it. Didn't necessarily know I had it at the time because I just put it in an application like, because I'm just going to inquire. I just want to inquire,
mm-hmm.
you know? And 15 minutes later, I was granted the license.
Wow.
And that was crazy because Alita told me she had just put it down. She said she's not doing it anymore. She's retiring. And I'm like, well, God put it in my hands. Like, you must have, like, I just told him no.
Wow.
And so then once I got it in my hands and I was like, okay, Unc, are you available to talk about this? Can you really have this conversation with me? Are you busy? Like, the next months?
Right, right.
And the amazing thing about it is that I tried several times.
Mm-hmm.
Several times in the last 10 years, that I was trying to get the rights, or tried to get the place so I could do it again. I was unsuccessful in doing it.
Really?
Unsuccessful.
Alita had it. So if you get the publishing rights, if you're granted the publishing rights, you could only the person holding the rights can do it within a 50-mile radius.
Okay.
That's pretty much all of Connecticut.
Yeah.
So Alita had
pretty much.
Alita had those rights.
I know I couldn't get it, but all of a sudden, when I said, oh, well, I didn't even try this year. I didn't even try to get the rights. Here she comes.
Wow.
Ain't that God?
That is nothing but God.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
I really tried. I've made several attempts and calls, and even, I know I was told sometimes you have to be a church, church has to apply for it, or
but you're one of the people that created the music.
I couldn't get it, but I don't know what I was doing wrong. Apparently, I was doing something wrong, but apparently, it wasn't meant for me to get it. It was meant for Lisa to do it, and she's been doing a fantastic job, a great job.
There's like no way I could have done any of this without him, and I wouldn't have wanted to do this. I mean, Bethel has the capacity and we have the capability, but
right.
we don't have that music.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. And that's what I needed.
So who are your musicians besides the voices? Like, do you have somebody particular playing piano, or is this all Bethel?
No, I'm the piano player.
Okay. Music director, the whole thing.
Okay.
And Anthony Taylor, my brother, he's playing the bass.
Okay.
And Stephen Poole.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Poole is playing the drums.
And that's it?
That's it.
And how many voices are we looking at?
Ooh, you like to keep coming. So far, we're up to 22.
Wow. 22. Did the original Vernon Jones Singers, I know it was a large group, but how many voices? Was it over 20?
It's about 15, okay. 15 to 20.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't huge, but I also knew it wasn't seven people.
Mm-hmm. Right. I know it's about between 15 and 20 people.
Okay.
Because you had back in the day, you had the Vernon Jones Singers were in the front.
Right.
And then you had the fill-ins and, you know, the villain voices in the back. But mostly it was the Vernon Jones Singers led the majority of all the songs.
Okay. And is that's going to be the case with this production, correct?
For the most part, you still have soloists like myself and Bethel lights, Bethel people who are leading some songs. But for the most part, we have Stephanie Townsend leading Poor Little Jesus
Boy.
Hey, Steph.
Steph and I went to high school together.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah?
In junior high. Yeah, we go way back.
And she's singing
The Blood.
Mercy.
Yeah, I know.
And
I know
First Lady Deborah Lawson, who is singing Fix Me.
Mm.
And
No Room
in the first act.
Yeah.
Raymond Lindsay is singing Worth, and Alton Johnson singing Poor Sweet Little Jesus Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And all in Ron Vernon's number one tunes, All I Need Is the Touch.
Yes.
So we have quite a few of songs of Vernon's that are in the second act,
mm-hmm.
from his a couple of his albums. So Sure Thing, which always gets me, and that's my personal testimony, that song.
Mm-hmm.
Sure Thing, and All I Need Is a Touch, and we rehearsed so much, so many songs, couldn't believe. You don't know. Yeah.
What is this rehearsal like?
Amazing.
What is rehearsal like?
Well, since we got over the learning part, because like I said, some of us, we had to refresh our memories.
Okay.
Because we have a lot of, some of the people haven't done this at all.
Yeah. And some people have done it and forgotten
we have
certain pieces, right?
Yeah, we ain't sung that. We haven't played. I haven't played it, nor does Vernon Jones Sr. have sung it in almost 15, 16 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we had to refresh ourselves. But since we refresh ourselves and we taught the songs to the new ones coming in, you can see a shift in the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's becoming personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. starting to become personal. More so than an experience.
A performance.
Yeah.
And people are owning it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The performers are owning it.
We're moving. You can literally see the shift from
learning.
Yeah, from being performers.
Mm-hmm.
We're performing an art. We're going to minister.
Mm-hmm.
And before I can minister to anybody else, anybody who sings in the church or anything like that, we minister to ourselves first and let that sink in.
Mm-hmm.
as we get ready to minister to others. And this play is so on time because so many people around this time of the year go through their bouts of depression.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't realize how real it is until you hear stories of somebody committing suicide or another person mm-hmm. dying because of a senseless act of violence because mm-hmm. of another person's mental status is just, you know, taken over. So this song, this play, this production is more like a ministry than anything, than just a production.
Mm-hmm.
And it's here to inspire, encourage, and just give
and lift
people
up.
Hope. Yeah.
And lift up.
Yeah. Because it's a part in the play that I always remember, that always stuck out to me since the beginning. And it's the part where the narrator says he was complaining about life.
Mm-hmm.
He's complaining about life. And he was complaining that he had no shoes on his feet until he saw the man that had no feet.
Mm-hmm.
So that really changed his testimony, his frame of mind.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we do look to start to complain about what we don't have
mm-hmm.
and what we need and what we should have had.
You start getting to the commercialism of Christmas as opposed to the reason. Yeah.
And
the reason for the season, right?
Right. And then if you really learn the reason and start changing your focus,
mm-hmm.
you'll see that how much more you have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you would change your view, your attitude, and the way you think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And realize how blessed you really are. How blessed you really are. So much going on in the world. So much.
And I think because there is so much going on in the world that you need a reminder like this.
Yeah.
And people need a place where they can go and receive peace, have peace, but receive it.
Yeah.
And
unconditionally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In that no judgment zone, right?
Yeah.
Just to go for a couple of hours, kind of have a little bit of an escape, but at the same time, tap into your spiritual side.
Exactly. You go there and you don't realize you're having church until it's all said. I'm like, wait, what just happened? So it was always, you know, a blessing to me when I saw not just African-American people coming into the play. When I was mm-hmm. younger, I picked up on some things. I didn't know. Wasn't always a teenager. But I picked up on when other people that didn't necessarily look like me stepped out of there, and they couldn't understand why their spirit was so lifted.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge following,
mm-hmm.
also. And they began to understand and realize they've been touched. They actually have. This is what church is like. This is church.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it is. This is what it means to worship. I'm coming to see a play, a performance, and all of a sudden you get caught up in that second act.
Right.
And it's not just a few five people that we got in the amen corner to encourage or incite the amens, but now you got mm-hmm. the whole congregation of ticket buyers
right.
that are amening hallelujah. And I remember there was one time there was somebody in the back that was shouting during the play. And that's real. You know, that's and so that's what this is really all about.
Yeah,
and this is it like he said, it moved from performance mm-hmm. to now, but this is real. This is worship. This yeah. is ministry.
Yeah,
because as you was remembering, I remember my boss where I worked at. I worked at a printing place
mm-hmm.
back in the 90s, Mac Company. My boss came to the play. I invited him, and he came. He came and he brought his family.
Wow.
And then when he died, what he did was he went and bought him a tambourine.
Mm.
And he brought his tambourine to the play. And he told me he had the best time. He's been beating his tambourine. And this is an Italian man. And that's all he talked. And for the next 2 years as I worked there, Black Nativity time, he gave me off.
Wow.
With pay.
Wow.
See?
That was special.
See?
That was special. It was moving, right?
Yeah, that's the kind of effect that it had on people.
And still will have.
And still will have.
And
yeah.
will have. Continue to have. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the show on WNHHLP 103.5 FM. Broadcasting live from downtown New Haven. We are streaming live on TuneIn Radio and newhavenindependent.org. We're also streaming live video on Facebook Live right now. All you have to do is go to facebook.com/newhavenindependent or just go to your own Facebook page and look us up. The discussion is around a new production of the old production named Black Nativity. And in the studio with me is Lisa Kelman. She's producer and director, as well as Elder Howard Taylor. He is the musical director of this Black Nativity, as well as one of the folks who put more music to it in the second act with Vernon Jones way back in the 90s. It seems, you know, I always tease my friend Babs because she'll say, oh, that was 15 years ago, 1995. I said, no. The 90s are now becoming 20 years ago. Now. She's like, oh, no, I want to hold on to the 90s. It's like, you can't hold on to them, baby. Eventually, it's going to be 30 years and 35 years. So this was a phenomena, but also a staple for the African-American community in New Haven. And I'm sure that Lisa is hoping the same thing will continue now that it's being bought back. Has this been work? Because you say it's a ministry. It's turning into a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But has this been fun or work, or how's it been for you to bring this back?
Well, anytime you do anything that you love to do, it's not necessarily considered
work. Mm-hmm.
But it's been work. I'm not even going to front. It's been work. Because like I said, I know nothing about it. I mean, I have family members.
Right.
My cousin, Douglas Lyons, Mr. Broadway.
Mm.
I know nothing about production and putting things together. I was trying to find somebody.
To do that for
student.
You, yeah.
Maybe you need extra credit. You want
right.
to direct this.
Right.
You want to produce this. And but we don't have the budget to give somebody like right. an honorarium or anything like that. So they're like, so uncle's like, no, you're going to have to do this. I'm like, okay. Well, I know how to research and I know how to Google. We're going to get it together.
We're going to bring it.
Yeah, but I also brought in one of my friends that grew up in at Bethel. She studied performing arts at UConn,
okay.
Alicia Andrews. So she's our stage director. Because like I said, I want to sing this year. I don't want to be...
You don't want to be on the sidelines,
like, yeah,
so to speak.
Yeah, I have
an
opportunity to actually sing with the Vernon Jones Singers. I'm going to take my... I'm going to shoot my shot and let somebody... Just tell us when to go on.
Right.
That's all I need
just
to,
let me
to
know.
Do that.
So, point, yeah, so she's and
helping
I'm there.
Us. Yeah, she's helping us to do that. But as far as like the advertising and getting the monies and figuring out what distributor to use as far as the tickets... Writing the solicitation letters, the PR, and all of that. Yeah, that's a good.
Yeah, that's
of
the
work.
Real work.
Yeah,
that's the real work in it.
And Lisa's been doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
She's been doing a great job. She's doing a lot more than I knew. I realized that she's doing.
Doing a lot more than I thought I knew to do. Nothing but God. I'm telling you.
So. And bringing this back, have you made any real changes to it? Or is it going to be what most of us remember or got a little different style to it? What's different or what's the same? And I don't want to give too much away, okay? Because you want people to come out and see it.
Right.
But at the same time, has there been any change?
Well, basically, the first act is... It's probably the way you remember it.
Okay.
Probably the way you remember it. And Vernon has left such an impact on the Greater New Haven area, especially at Bethel Church, where he played for at least almost 20 years.
In Sperry Street.
And
And a
lot of people that singing, if he didn't teach them, He taught their parents. He taught their parents. So what we did, we decided to do the second act. We're presenting several songs that Vernon wrote that he recorded on albums with the Vernon Jones Singers. As we stated earlier, All I Need Is a Touch. That was one of the hottest. That was on the first album that he made, and that really put him on the map. All I Need Is a Touch. And then we're doing several other songs from Vernon. But because one of my Lisa's primary reasons for doing it was the impact that Vernon left on her so much that she wanted to dedicate it. She wanted to remember. Mm-hmm. She was remembering. And she wanted other people to remember who Vernon was and what he meant to her. And his impact on her so much made her really go through this and kept pursuing and kept pursuing and kept pursuing. We need to do Black Nativity. I want to do Black Nativity. Can we get it done until it finally came to fruition?
Now, how long did that take, Lisa? Was it something that hit you like a year ago or 2 years ago?
It was a few years ago. Like I said, you know, it really was pressed on me to get it done, but it was always something. If it wasn't me working my job and or my children or finishing up a degree or anything in life that can distract me from the vision, I steer that way. Like I said, when God said, I need you to do this, because I missed it. And so it was like, you know, yes, let's do this, God. And once I reached out to Unc, God literally pulled all the pieces together. And so that's how I know that it really was him doing this. Because everybody I've asked to do or have a piece or a part in it, even people I didn't ask, they showed up without any quorum or anything. People came because we miss it. We all miss it. The Vernon Jones
Singers.
When
was the last time it was performed? Anyone remember?
This rendition?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like I said, it's been done every year for the past 19 years. But this rendition?
This one's new.
Yeah. I would say 98. No. Before that.
Wow.
So it was like 90, maybe 92? Because the last one was at UNH.
Right.
Last one was at UNH. So maybe 94.
Hearing that, yeah.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, because Papa didn't leave until like maybe 94, 95
mm-hmm.
when he had to go back to Florida to take care of his mom and grandmom. And that was it. And then, you know, 2002, we get word that he passed away. And that was just a sinking feeling. I mean, the funeral and everything was in Florida, but Connecticut didn't have that mourning time.
Didn't have that.
Mm-mm. So this is it.
This is the way to say.
I mean, there's been memorial services
right.
throughout the city in different churches and recognitions and acknowledgments. But this is it.
Mm.
Yeah. And his sister Gloria is a part of it. You know, she's, you know, going to give her acknowledgement and welcome and everything.
Okay.
So we got her blessing to move forward and the dedication and everything. And it's just been blessed ever since. And it's literally like, just a few months, once the word got out that we're doing it.
You're doing it, yeah.
It was just a hot thing to just, everybody just hopped on the train and it was moving.
So now I don't see a price here.
Ooh.
For the production. Are you all charging or is this free or is this a donation?
So there is a donation because the proceeds, the Bethel Music Department
mm-hmm.
is presenting this play
mm-hmm.
And we're featuring Elder Taylor and the Vernon Jones Singers and to help raise money for a new mic system and all of that with the church. So there is a donation, $25 per person we're asking.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And
the tickets are on sale.
Yep. Where?
They're on sale online. You can actually go to the church and pick up physical tickets if you want to avoid the surcharge and the handling fees that we that are online.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, they are online at Brown Tickets, Brown Paper Tickets,
mm-hmm.
or just Black Nativity.
So how would I find it? Do I go to Brown Paper Tickets or I'd Google Black Nativity New Haven?
Apps.
How do I find the site?
So you can search literally Black Nativity Connecticut, mm-hmm. Black Nativity New Haven, brownpapertickets.com, and it'll pop right up. It's the only one in Connecticut.
Okay.
So we're proud of that.
And tickets are on sale until?
The day of.
Okay.
The day of, and there will be tickets at the door.
Okay.
So if you didn't get your tickets already, there's still an opportunity to pick up tickets at the door.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't suggest you do that because you really just want to come in and just have a seat and relax.
Right. Instead of standing in line.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the church capacity is about 400 because it was like 400 at my wedding. So it's about 450. But we don't want the marshals there.
So,
and it's only one performance, unfortunately.
I was going to say, it looks like there's just one performance.
Yeah.
Will the next one depend on whether folks show up for this one or not? Or you're just saying, we're going to go for it. We're going to do it every year until we get tired.
That's unk.
Well,
that's your question.
Well, we've seen how it turns out.
Okay.
But I know this one was a renewing of the spirit
mm-hmm.
for me. I'm just them as being personal for me. And it was a renewing, refreshing, restart, reboost
mm-hmm.
For me. And I'm pretty sure it was, it's going to be pretty much for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I really, my prayer is that it will jump, kick off. Like it did when it did back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be something for the next five, 10 years going forward.
Okay. Now, with that said, is it going to be the production we see this week? Or I mean this month? Or you're going to look at it and say, we're going to do some things differently? Or are you just going to wait and see?
Well, hopefully it will grow. It'll expand. Of course, I always think that you always have an idea. Well, something I always said. Mm-hmm. The biggest room in heaven is a room of improvement.
Mm.
And I believe we can always improve on what we do.
Yeah.
That's just my daily walk. What can I do to improve myself?
Yeah.
What can I do to
make it better?
Make it better. Mm-hmm. My approach, whatever that I'm involved with, what can I do to make this better? So I think that there's always, we're always going to try to improve, add anything that's going to enhance and make it better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we, because you have a vision, but you have a vision and you want to make it, critique it just the way you see
right.
Hopefully that's what we'll do as we go on. We'll make it better, make it more stageable. Maybe the Schubert might call us down. Who knows?
Who knows?
We'll see.
Who knows?
All right, well, and welcome any feedback, any comments, whatever attendees appreciate it. What they probably, I don't think I could do without that. But for the most part, I think if nothing else, the spirit definitely will still stand and will still be consistent. And a lot of some of the music is just a staple, and you can't get rid of that. But there's room, like he said, there's room for improvement and keeping things fresh.
Yeah.
Because they had in the play, in the second act, there were some old gospel standards.
Mm-hmm.
We're not singing.
You're not doing those.
No, we upgraded to the 21st century.
Okay.
So Unk actually did an arrangement between two really great songs, Worth and Change.
Oh.
And it's very interesting, his arrangement that he did for those two great iconic songs in the gospel world. But one song that absolutely remains consistent is Packin' Up.
Okay.
It's written in the play. And so that stays. And that's what Langston Hughes did when he wrote this play. He allowed the artist, whoever takes this play on and redoes or represents this play, he gave us the artistic license to either take out, add in, and be free to be the artist that you are. And that's what I love about this particular work of art. We don't have to necessarily stay exactly to the actual script that he wrote. He allowed us the freedom to collaborate with him on this.
We've got 2 minutes left.
Okay.
What do you want the public to know?
I want them to know that Black Nativity is going to be presented at Bethel AME Church December 16th. Doors open at 4 p.m. At 5 o'clock, show starts on time. And they are going to have such a high time, and they're going to leave just refreshed and renewed and just so happy and just ready for the whole season in itself.
And the experience.
And the experience is going to be mind-blowing. It's going to be a wonderful experience. Not to hype it up, but it is. I don't have to, because that's what it is. If that's what our rehearsals are, that's what this show is going to be.
All right. The performance is set for Sunday, December 16th at 5 p.m. Doors open at 4 at Bethel AME Church, 255 Gulf Street, New Haven. You can call 203-747-5008 for more information. Tickets are $25. They're expecting that donation, folks. So see you there.
Don't miss it.
You don't want to miss it.
You don't want to miss it. Lisa Kelman, producer and director, and Elder Howard Taylor of Faith Center Church of God in Christ of Meriden, where Bishop Norfleet is the person in charge. We want to say thank you for coming in today,
sharing
this with us.
Thank
this is very
so
important, and we want to see everybody there. Make that $25 donation. Come out to Bethel. And one more thing I have to add, Community Conversations That Matter. It's being given by the New Haven Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta, Building the Statewide Legislative Agenda, Wednesday, December 12th, 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Whitneyville Cultural Commons. Okay? bring your friends and family because legislators from New Haven County are going to be there. That's it. This is the show. You've been listening to the show on WNHHLP 103.5 FM, broadcasting live from downtown New Haven. We're streaming live on TuneIn Radio and NewHavenIndependent.org. We're also streaming live video on Facebook Live. Just go to Facebook.com, New Haven Independent, or just go to your Facebook page and look us up. This has been the show. Thanks, Harry. Bye, Harry.
Yes.
Have you ever seen a show with fellas on the mic with 1 minute rhymes that don't come out right? They bite.
They never write.
That's not polite. Am I lying?
No, you're quite right.
Well, tonight, on this very mic, you're about to hear,
we swear, the best star rappers of the year. So,
cheerio,
yell,
scream, bravo.
Also, if you didn't know, this is called the show.